Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast presented by Applied Software Great Tech Group. You're invited to join our conversation to model the future of construction innovation and the digital transformation adventure of this great industry. We recorded this conversation live from the Advancing Prefabrication Show in Denver, Colorado. In this conversation, I sat down with Robert Penny of Skanska to discuss the latest in prefab trends, continuous improvement, and much more. Hope you enjoy the conversation. All right, we are recording live from Advancing Prefab. Welcome, Robert. Excited to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I always like to start with how people got into this industry. What's kind of your origin story?
Oh, gosh. Been a long time. It was the first industry I've been in. So family of superintendents and trade folk. My dad was superintendent. All my uncles are in the trades, Carpenter Union, Philadelphia.
Okay.
And yeah, I always knew it's what I wanted to do. So I went to college, Drexel, for construction management. And I actually joined Skanska in 2008. And I've been here ever since. So nice. May 19th this year will be 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. What are some of the big kind of trends and changes that you've seen over that time?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that's an interesting question. I remember when we're first talking about BIM in what do you call that, early 2010s, I guess, and then seeing it evolve. And I've also had the opportunity to, I worked in, you know, mission critical, pharmaceuticals, a little bit of time in Silicon Valley and in the Pacific Northwest. So see the trends not only come up in the industry, but also change depending on what region you're in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, prefab is one that it's been around for a while, but just seeing that, I won't say it's a resurgence, but just the way it's changing now. It's this conference is one of my favorites to go to now.
Yeah. What do you think has made the difference in bringing the energy in and kind of in the really the last maybe 4 or 5 years? It seems to be a renaissance of energy of people getting excited for technology and coming into construction.
Yeah. It's my opinion. I think it's the perspective. So like I was listening to Amy talk this morning and it was about productization and it's also about manufacturing and it's about offsite. And it's like each time we have a conference, we focus on someone else's viewpoint. Is it a sub's viewpoint? Is it the worker's viewpoint? Is it the contractor's viewpoint? Is it the owner's? And every time, for me at least, I learn more about someone else's perspective. I go, that totally changes my viewpoint on it. Yeah. So I really think the fact that we're sharing and collaborating is having an impact on how the industry is growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. How do we take that out of the conference and bring it into the real world, kind of the sharing of perspectives?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's my wheelhouse, so continuous improvement. So that's the drum I'm going to beat. But it is just having that transparency, honesty, like, what are we trying to do together in aligned goal? And just like always going back to that, in my opinion, if we can create it before the job even starts, and always go back to it weekly, monthly, yearly. I think that's where we start to bring it from just everyone talking in a perfect world at a conference to when we're in the trenches and really going through some issues. If we have that North Star, I think that's what can guide us.
Yeah. So how do you build that kind of culture to seed it, not just at a kind of a theoretical level or even management level? How do you get deep roots into that?
So I have something that at Skanska we like to do. It's called the House of High Performing Teams. And it's just, there's a little graphic of it, of course, and it's got to be a building because we're in construction. But it's, and some of it might sound cliche, but it's like trust, transparency, and communication. Like when we start there, what I mean specifically is like, how are you going to communicate on a job? Is it going to be email? Is it going to be Teams? Is it going to be through modeling software? How are we going to create trust? Are we going to have weekly meetings? Are we going to have monthly meetings? I know it seems like minutia maybe, but actually making clear points of like, how do you actually work together? And then specifically state, you know, I will call you once a week and we will discuss about this. I think really putting action around some of the softer aspects of a high performing team.
Yeah. And I think that's huge. The defining terms, it sounds kind of elementary, but that makes such a big difference because there's so many acronyms in this industry too. And we throw them around like we know what we're talking
alignment.
About.
Yeah. What is alignment? Like,
what does that mean to you?
Exactly.
Yeah, that might mean something different to me. And so defining it, I think, is critical to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to take that one to provide a specific example, like you say, where do you want to go? Like as an owner, as a contractor and a designer, mm-hmm. and you actually define what success looks like for you on this job. At the end of the next 2 years, this will be success. I see my design actualized in reality, the contractor, you know, I got to show my craft of building a building, and then the owner, I have a functioning product. Mm-hmm. Okay, how do we align one goal around those three things? Like that is what, to me, you put words and definition around alignment. You don't just slap it on a team charter and go forth with it.
Yeah. How do you pull in the, not that there's any of this in construction, but the, you know, the curmudgeon over in the corner with his arms crossed, not wanting to change.
Oh gosh. I mean, I'm going to dive into like the exercises and stuff I love to do, but I love just understand why are they a curmudgeon? So mm-hmm. I do one, it's a fears and expectations. I'll start, you don't have to do it in the beginning of a job. You can do it periodically throughout in the middle of it, but what are you fearful is going to happen coming out of the foundation, mm-hmm. Before topping out in close out of a job? Or just in general, and actually understand, I'm worried I'm not going to have enough lay down space and it's going to get stolen from me because it actually got stolen from me on the last job. And the second you understand that oddly specific thing the curmudgeon mm-hmm. is curmudgeon-y about, mm-hmm. you go, well, you know what? We're going to ensure that doesn't happen because we have this lay down logistics plan in place. Mm-hmm. Just really getting down to that nitty gritty of why, what are we concerned with? You know, it's mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a people business.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think it gets overlooked.
It really does. And sometimes we want to maybe make it like we need, you know what we need? We need a plan for the show. Or maybe we just need to understand what individuals are worried about and try and do best we can to help each other solve it.
Right, yeah. Right. So when you're looking over the larger landscape of the construction industry, what do you see as some of the pitfalls and challenges that are facing the industry right now?
Oh, I mean, I think we have some growing pains, but not in any missteps of our own, but we mm-hmm. have so many great solutions to so many problems. Mm-hmm. Like when I think about it, it's an odd way to put it, but hear me out. It's like when we're planning the job, it's a general contractor, it's the viewpoint I've had and I've always had. Mm-hmm. It's we look at what is going to be the challenge on this job. We have a tight schedule on the back end. We have, cost is really important to us. Is it timing? Is it safety? Mm-hmm. And I think we can use lean, we can use prefab, the whole prefab modular. And it makes me think those are all solutions to worthy problems. Mm-hmm. So I think a trend that is like what's a challenge for the whole industry is how do you look at all the new problems we have and then all these different solutions and pick the right one?
Yeah.
Because sometimes, I mean, you can have 10 paths you'd like to take and you go, which three are the ones that are really going to work for this job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you go about that process?
Oh, I mean, I'm a lean guy, Six Sigma. So choosing by advantage, weigh them all out. Like what are the, and I think this ties into Skanska's, prefab approach is we lay out what are the challenges or opportunities we have on a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then what tools in your tool belt can help you solve those problems. For to give you like a specific example, I believe it was a an active prison that was being built, and we needed to put chiller plants within the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
What ended up being a great solution to that was prefab them offsite, and you deliver them, hook them in, minimum time exposed within the facility because mm-hmm. that was important to the client and to us.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you have a problem. Prefab was the right solution. There was no question, should we prefab? There was no, this is why we should. It was just, it just mm-hmm. seamlessly fit.
Yeah.
And I think that is the spending time up front to pause and say, being intentional, what are we going to do here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my answer. You pause.
Yeah. you're speaking my language.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The intentionality of planning up front.
Yes.
Is, we're so rushed in construction.
Yeah.
There are tight timelines and everything that people feel that they can't take the time up front to sit and really kind of scope it out and really think through all the implications and advantages of what is going to be the best path to take. But I think you're too busy not to take the time on the front side to sit and have those conversations.
Yeah. Because
they're too important. You're just going to pay for it later.
Oh, gosh. I was just in our quality council had a meeting the other day, and it was we always seem to have time to do it right, to do it twice, but not do it right one time.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, we feel rushed, and there is a pressure on us in the industry. And it's
sure.
Yeah. We just have to be mindful to say, regardless of, let's take a moment and be intentional, as you said.
How would you encourage people to get over that and take the time?
Oh, gosh. Well, I looked at the individuals I know that do take the time, and it is a lot of the time they've gone through a really rough experience that has like ingrained in them.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm going to take the time, because I didn't on that last project, and boy, that was a really rough experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a sustainable way, is that we just let everyone in the business go through extremely tough time to learn that. So I think as best as we can communicate, and then also as the people who are more experienced who've had those challenges start having teams underneath them, try to convey it. Like, here is why you want to pause. Here's why you don't want to jump in. I guess it's really sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing the lessons learned as much as you can to impart that wisdom that was hard fought and learned into our, you know, younger generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, but easier said than done.
That's true.
Easier said than done.
It's very true. Very true. Mm-hmm. So leaning into the continuous improvement side, what is something that people get wrong with continuous improvement?
Oh, gosh. there's a lot there. I think the one thing folks get wrong is maybe that it's sometimes a little cultish, or that you have to dive 100%. You either have to be lean in every lean process, in every lean aspect of your project,
mm-hmm.
to enjoy the benefits of it. And I think if you did that, you'd have a great project.
Yeah.
But also, you can just pick parts and pieces that work for you. If you just want to do last planner system, you can just do last planner system.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want to do a pull plan on a very highly specific or high risk area of work, that's just one phase pull plan, you'll still get value out of that. Will you get the last planner system value? No, but you'll get great value more than not doing it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that one thing people get wrong about that is you can really pick what works for you, and what you call it is great to have a common language around it, but as long as you're just in a room, the respect for people, trying to take the burden to work off individuals, like that's what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
I would impart that on anyone listening, is that take what you like and keep away what you don't like. You don't have to use the stuff you don't like.
Yeah.
Nice. And then I do have one more part.
It's
just me. I like it. And I love lean, but I also refer to it, and Skanska does as well, as continuous improvement, because tool in the tool belt thing. I use that analogy a lot.
Yeah.
You've got Agile. You've got Six Sigma. You've got lean construction. There's so many different facets to continually improving,
mm-hmm.
whether you're looking behind in an existing process and trying to fix it, or mm-hmm. you're looking in the forward like we do on jobs, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do we iterate and deliver this better?
Mm-hmm.
So I think continuous improvement is welcoming in any, is it design thinking? Is it any new way of looking at thing that you can bring into the company that
mm-hmm.
helps? I feel like keeping that open door policy allows different approaches. Yeah, I think it's valuable.
The industry is struggling with a communication problem and a lack of interoperability. This is causing 25% of data being recreated and almost $300 billion loss due to bad communication. Great Tech Group believes that is a problem. So they created Data Connect, an easy-to-use, no-code platform that connects critical ERP systems with cost management to form a single source of truth to empower better communication, decision-making, and project efficiency, delivering the ultimate business outcome of being on time and on budget. Visit asti.com/dataconnect to start saving time and money. Yeah. How would you encourage people to do their education, to get caught up on all the many facets of continuous improvement, or all the different methodologies that are out there? How should they go about learning about them and then figuring out which one is going to work well for them?
That's great. I mean, Lean Construction Institute is huge. They're massive conference, massive organization. I'm on the local chapter core team as well. They're great. They have tons of e-learning on there. Mm-hmm. Gives you case study, walks through, specifically how the processes work, but also what you can expect in terms of impact. Also, case studies on a lot of larger company websites. I mean, it's funny, like we have a continuous improvement page on Skanska that is just tools and templates, successes we've had on projects or in the office, because we don't just use it on our projects. We use it back of house as well. And also conferences are really great. I mean, it is, if you go to Lean Congress once and you hear trade partners who are putting work in place, you hear contractors who are running the work, and you hear the owners who are having way better experiences with it, you get that belief through them to kind of give you that blind faith to try it your first time. And then once you've got it, then you're good.
Yeah. So yeah. You also get the creative ideas of like, oh, I never thought of that, using it for that way.
Yes. And some of them are a lot smaller and easier than you'd think.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of innovation out there.
That's awesome. Also on the technology front, what do you see as some of the big trend lines coming into construction with technology?
Oh gosh. I mean, digital twin is one I hear a lot. Mm-hmm. Digital twin's really cool. I like it. I think a lot of what we're talking about here at the prefab conference, just that digitization and digital, let me get this right. It was digitization and digitalization.
Yeah.
The difference between the two. I learned that one.
It's really hard.
Oh man. Yeah. That was
a tongue twister.
Yeah. I wrote it down now. So saying it is completely different. I think a big part of it is capturing what we're doing in the physical world digitally, and then trying to improve that before we embark on it again. I know that's a large overarching statement, but I think that's the, as we're reworking these processes, because digital twin, for example, you actually have to walk through the specifics in the digital environment, how this is going to go together. You have to think critically about each different component and trades. And as we're doing that, at least for me, you're walking through how it's being built out in the real world. And I think that is going to be a huge, that trend of folks that are actually builders doing that work is transforming the industry. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I mean is, when it first came out, I'm thinking, you know, it's 2011, I'm on a job, we're in California. It's like, it was a specific person who was doing the modeling to visualize a 3D model so we could look at it during constructability review. Mm-hmm. It was not the individual who was actually doing the constructability review who was building it. So from my opinion, there's a disconnect in that. And I think we're just so far past that now that it is, everyone I'm hearing talk and give a lot of the info in the sessions today is a builder, as such a deep experience in the built environment. And now they're also the ones running the tools. And that's what makes me, that's a trend that I'm seeing that makes me really excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're able to make the costly mistakes in the digital world where it's not costly.
Yeah.
Instead of in the physical world where it's very costly.
Yes. So when you see that, you know, you see that duct running right into a wall, or you see the pipe running into the duct.
You're like, that's not going to work.
You can chuckle about it, right? You can laugh about it. I've had several of those conversations already today, and it's the difference between laughing about it up front or screaming about it in the field. And we all know which one is easier.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So we're at Advancing Prefab. Why is, you know, this event and events like it, why is it important for the industry and have an impact?
Oh gosh. As a whole, the industry is making so much progress that there is, in my opinion, there is not any one company that could make as much progress in, say, prefabrication as we can in the entirety. So just here to learn. I just saw that, I can't remember, but it was building from the ground up. Like, it's wild. Just throw up two cores and you build a floor and you jack the floor up. Just wouldn't have thought of that. Haven't been on a project myself. I now have that just idea. I don't have the skill set. I don't have the know-how, but I have an idea. Oh, that's possible.
Yeah.
So it's really learning what others are doing to try and save yourself, once again, that upfront heartache, or mm-hmm. just say, hey, I know who to call now about that. Yeah. I don't remember what it was called, but I got it in the notes. I got it in the notes somewhere.
That's right. You can go through the app later.
Yeah, it is, because there is, once again, for me, there's just too much information out there to just rely on myself as the expert. So I've really mm-hmm. realized that the longer I'm in this and the more I'm branching out into prefab and the lean, is connecting with the right people and knowing it's possible, knowing there's an expert, and then reaching out to them and leveraging their talents.
Yeah. I think there's a profound statement in there that you don't have to be the expert on all things, because you can't be. And so just to acknowledge that, I don't know this, but I know this guy that is the expert on it. Let me go ask him.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
I had a, just to use a great example, I had an email that came across in a chain, and someone's reaching out about, has anyone done rock blasting in a dense urban environment in the Southeast? And it's like, we have such a breadth of expertise at Skanska, and as any general contractor does. And there wasn't any in that one specific random thing. So you can have all these hundreds of years of experience, and there's still going to be one unique situation that, you're not the expert on, and you need to always be willing to say, I'll find someone who is, before I relearn the lessons that person already knows.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Humility goes a long way.
a really long way. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, kind of as we're starting to land the plane, some rapid fire questions
for
you.
Sure.
What does modeling the future, what does that look like to you?
Oh, gosh. Incorporating the processes and the specifics of how we're building it in the physical environment into the digital environment, not just the look and feel of a completed project, mm-hmm. but how it's being built and the specific processes around it. How's it delivered? How's it lifted? How's it put in place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Modeling that.
Yeah, I like it. What does innovation mean to you?
Oh, ever-changing, new ideas, not having to be an expert in every innovation, but keep your mind open that there's probably 50 approaches you could use to any one thing, and that you should at least entertain 5 to 10 of them before you choose one.
Yeah, nice. Any takeaways from the conference so far, or something like the nugget that you're going to take back home?
Oh, gosh. There was a great quote I heard earlier, and I wrote it down. Can't seem to remember it. There was, don't focus for prefab specifically on cost savings, focus on cost certainty. And it really spoke to that. I feel for so long it was, build it cheaper, build it faster, or build quality. You can pick two out of the three, but you can't have any. And there is something to certainty, to results, and a quality product that is sort of makes time and money less concerns when you know you have a certain quality, you have a certain, time frame, and you have a confidence in your work.
Mm-hmm.
It resonated with me. I felt it was like, that's something nice to focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. How do people find out more information on what you're doing at Skanska, or connect with you?
LinkedIn. Yeah. LinkedIn's kind of, keep it simple. I keep that one there, and yeah.
Nice. I'm a LinkedIn-aholic, so I like it.
As I know,
Last question for you. If I could give you all construction power, you could snap your fingers and innovate one thing in the industry, what would you pick to innovate?
Ooh. The way we build project teams as an industry.
Okay.
I would innovate a new approach that we could, some do it very well, some we're always learning, but I think there's a lot of intention of just the people and individuals who are involved in the building process. It's so unique to our industry that we don't always work for the same company, mm-hmm. we don't always have aligned goals, we all have different fears, and they are well-founded, experience-driven fears, and we all have expectations and dreams and desires. And I think we can start jobs so much better and have a great time building, doing what our skill set is together,
mm-hmm.
if we spend a little bit more time there. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we're moving that way. I do.
What do you think the timeline is to having that more of a reality?
Ah,
I lied. That was my last question.
Yeah, asked another one. Good. You're good. Well, frankly, as technology changes, it's going to continually improve. Yeah. Like when we add new tools and new approaches, we're going to have to iterate around how we were, how our business model worked before and how it is in 5 years. And I'd say probably it seems every 5 years, we're probably going to have to make a significant shift on how the different parties work together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just being open about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And open to it.
I thought of one more question. I'm sorry.
No, keep it going.
So
I'm good.
You said every 5 years with the technology side changing. We had a big technology revolution in 2020 with COVID hit and everybody had to scramble to embrace tech if they weren't. That means we're coming up on that 5 year. Do you see a big shift on the horizon?
Yes. I think a lot of it is this productization. There's a lot of large words here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. What happened in 2020, as you mentioned, I feel we fully adopted the fact that I can get in virtually and give an opinion and collaborate and be creative about it. And that was life changing. Some things need to be in person. I love workshops. I'll never stop in-person workshops. That was a big change. What I see now is that was putting me there virtually to collaborate and ideate around. Mm-hmm. I see now we're actually being able to put components of buildings and digital twins and processes and time lapse. Like we can put tools now in our hands immediately to ideate around. And it's not, hey, in a week when you have that model finished, we can revisit it and take a look and maybe think of a new crane swing the other way. We have it instantly now. Mm-hmm. And I think that is that speed to service. I don't know if that's the right way to put it.
Yeah.
Just it's at our fingertips now. That is it's not any one thing, but I think that's going to be the big next change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, Robert, thanks so much for taking the time and
thanks for
joining the show. This was great.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. And now it's time for my Todd takes from this episode. First take. Emphasize the importance of defining keywords, terms, and goals up front to ensure alignment among all stakeholders involved in a project. This clarity fosters better communication and collaboration from the outset. Take two. Highlight the critical nature of dedicating time to thoroughly plan out the project, including its goals and direction. Despite the tight timelines typical in construction, setting clear expectations and alignment early on can save time and streamline the project's progression. All right. And now it's time for my Todd takes from this episode. First take. Emphasize the importance of defining keywords, terms, and goals up front to ensure alignment among all stakeholders involved in a project. This clarity fosters better communication and collaboration from the outset. Take two. I'll just start with that point. Next take. Highlight the critical nature of dedicating time to thoroughly plan out the project, including its goals and direction. Despite the tight timelines typical in construction, setting clear expectations and alignment early on can save time and streamline the project's progression. And finally, stress the significance of adopting a mindset geared towards continuous improvement. Encourage being perpetually curious and committed to learning, staying open to innovative ideas and concepts. Also, underline the value of maintaining an open network and the humility to seek out expertise when needed. Bridging the Gap is hosted, directed, and produced by Todd Wyatt. Edited and produced by Eric Daniel. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software Great Tech Group production. Copyright Applied Software Great Tech Group 2024.